Joining me now on the phone is Jimmy Kemp, and Jimmy is the president of the Jack Kemp Foundation, which recently had a Kemp Forum on Friday here in the Pilsen neighborhood, and kind of an outlet for ideas and perhaps more than anything else, diverse views, but in a civil climate. Jimmy, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Rick.
Would you start out just explaining, you know, what the Kemp Foundation is?
Sure. Well, the Jack Kemp Foundation established after its namesake, who is my father, Jack Kemp, who was a HUD secretary in the H.W. Bush administration. He was a congressman in the 70s and 80s. He was a football player in the American Football League with the Buffalo Bills in the 60s. And Dad had a unique political philosophy that he called the American idea. And he believed that Republicans and Democrats all believe in the American idea, or at least almost all Republicans and Democrats believe in the American idea, that we have inalienable rights in this country to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as described in the Declaration of Independence. And so you can bring people together around those concepts, regardless of political divisions, as long as they're people of goodwill who are striving to address the problems of the day, the understanding that our form of government is the last great hope for civilization is what we believe the country is about and can be and should be about. So we're, in a sense, Rick, we're trying to tame the circus a little bit as you were talking about it. But we're never surprised by the circus because governing is hard work. So we had the Kemp Forum in Chicago on Friday, and it was a part of, you know, the mission that we've set up to advance the American idea that we're trying to continue for my dad's career.
And also part of the continuing work about expanding opportunities.
Yes. So we believe that democratic capitalism is the best way to unleash human potential. And so if you don't have opportunity in areas of this country, whether they're urban or rural, then the system is not working the way it should be. And I think obviously you hear a lot of frustration around the country with incoming inequality, with lack of opportunity. The economy is doing better. It has been since the recession, but it's not unleashing all the opportunity and growth that it should in some of the poorer sections of our country. And there are a lot of factors at play. So Friday, we wanted to come to Chicago. Speaker Paul Ryan asked us to do this back in 2015, and we did one in South Carolina in early 2016 after he asked us the year before. And he asked us to do a follow-up. And Todd Ricketts asked us to do that in Chicago. Todd had come to the first one in South Carolina, and when he heard we were going to do a second one, he said, well, we'd love to have you all come to Chicago. And so we've actually been to the community four times. We've been down in the south side, we've been in the west side, and what was great is that there was a combination of national, state, and local political officials, both Republicans and Democrats, civic leaders. We had four aldermen. The governor came and spoke, had an interview there. It's clear that Chicago is hungering for solutions and collaboration. And in the political climate that is way too divided, we heard a lot of interest and desire for politicians to understand what's really going on. At the ground level and come up with solutions. And the one that I'd point out to that kept on coming up is new legislation out of a tax reform bill called Opportunity Zones, which the goal is to get capital into distressed communities. So that's one of the many solutions that were talked about.
Yeah, and certainly Speaker Ryan was very much touting that as a, you know, one example of trying to leverage kind of private investment into underserved, economically depressed areas, not just urban inner city areas, but throughout the country, and using it kind of as an investment tool with the trade-off of being able to receive tax breaks for a long-term investment.
Correct. So instead of the government saying, okay, we need more of your of the citizens' tax money, the goal is to attract private, as you said, private capital investment into distressed communities, provide a tax incentive in the form of 0% capital gains tax for 10 years if you go in and you invest in a distressed community as decided not by the federal government but by the state government. So the importance there being that local governments know best where the most challenged areas are, and there are certainly parameters, and the Department of Treasury is involved. So, you know, our government is so big, we're such a progressed society that all the decisions can't be made from Washington, D.C., certainly. And as you know, in Illinois, Springfield isn't exactly addressing the greatest challenges that Illinois is facing. But the goal is actually to get the people at the level, at the very local level, who are feeling the needs most significantly, get them to speak up and say, hey, we're here, we want to be an opportunity zone, and get the conversation with the state capitol, get it fixed, make sure people are heard, and the capitol can get to places where it can do the most good.
We're speaking to Jimmy Kemp. He's president of the Jack Kemp Foundation. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in historic Tribune Tower on a kind of damp North Michigan Avenue this morning. And I'm speaking with Jimmy Kemp, and he is president of the Jack Kemp Foundation. The Kemp Foundation, the Kemp Forum, recently met in Chicago to talk about opportunities for enhancing opportunities in impoverished areas of the country. But also along with this, and Jimmy, you'd agree, and you kind of touched on this, the political circus is just, I mean, one of the things that frustrates me is what actually Speaker Ryan referred to as hyperpolarization that we've seen.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the fact of civil discourse and where has that gone? I mean, we have, you know, over the weekend, the report of a White House staffer saying, well, you know, what's it matter what John McCain says? He's dying anyway. Just, I mean, that kind of temper just drives me to no end. And I think the speaker was right when he talked about it's, you know, it's the 21st century and it's digital and it's internet. And basically, he used the term, it's weaponized polarization. And I know, you know, he kind of talked about it, you know, is there a way out of it? And maybe if you use the technology that we have to focus on data and outcomes and direct it to programs where you can have proven results, you get back into a fact kind of based way of dealing with society's problems. But do facts even matter anymore in this polarization?
Well, yes, ultimately...
Can you unpack that for me?
Well, I don't know. I certainly can't solve it. You know, just in our conversation or in a short amount of time, it's been a long time coming. And I think the speaker was right, and you know, focused on this, that it's not because of one person. This isn't a one-person issue. Yes, this president is unique. He's disruptive. We've never seen anything like it, and it's hard for many of us who have been in politics for a long time, or as he calls it, the swamp,
right,
to process how the discourse is coming from social media, from Twitter, and so it's something that is hard to process. But I think it's really interesting to understand that human nature, in and of itself, we're never going to get rid of conflict. And a part of why I think people really appreciate the president is because he doesn't try to act nice in front of the cameras. People feel like behind the scenes, politicians are stabbing each other in the back all the time, and then they get in front of the camera, straighten their tie, and say something that is just for the cameras or the audience, right? And they feel with this president that he is disrupting that model. Certainly he is. And they want to see things for themselves instead of feeling like it's being done behind closed doors. They're frustrated because they don't think that government is responsive to the needs. And I don't think you can question that there's a lot of truth there. So there's always been conflict. We've had members of Congress, we've had elected officials and shoot each other back in the 19th century, you know, with duels and in the 18th century. I mean, so conflict is inevitable. I think the critical thing is that people compete their ideas and the substance, and we use technology to get good data, to get good facts. And will people spin those things? Yes, they will. That's always done. But in the long term, good leadership always wins out. And so I think it's really interesting to watch this administration, and they've actually made a lot of substantive progress on many areas, and they've worked with the Congress, and they got tax reform. Certainly we need to fix our tax code. Tax code is still incredibly way too complicated, but there are some good substantive things that are happening. The rhetoric, Rick, I agree with you, is poisonous and is not an example of what we want. But, you know, life is not, it's certainly not always a straight line. And the great thing about this country is that we have elections, and hopefully citizens will rise up and we'll get more voter participation and people will be more engaged. And ultimately, I think it will come around. It has to if our civilization wants to sustain itself.
I mean, you know, you talked about examples of things that you see are good things coming out of the administration, but then it's the administration's rhetoric that steps on them. And that's what everybody talks about.
Yes, it is. So people talk about that while a lot of work is happening, and some of it is from my perspective is very good and necessary. We need less regulation in the country, and I think foreign countries, this looking at the United States, they're now, you know, this is a different operation. We've never seen anything like this before. We will see what happens with North Korea and then obviously Iran. And these are critical issues. I certainly wouldn't approach these things the way the president has, but he also has a lot of good people working on some of these issues and having some of these world leaders put off balance by an unorthodox president. You know, it may turn out not to be a bad thing, despite the fact that it's not the way that you or I would do it. And I think it's really important for citizens to not be discouraged by all the smoke and mirrors and tweets and everything that's going on, but to actually focus more on the facts, on the substance, and for us to have that civil competition of ideas, because President Trump is going to be, he's going to serve for some length of time, and then he will be out. He's not king forever. Our institutions are holding, will continue to hold, I believe, and the country will go on, and government will go on, and it's certainly interesting to watch, and gives us a lot to talk about, doesn't it, Rick?
It sure does. So, Jimmy, let's go for what's next for expanding opportunity and keeping the drive alive.
Well, you know, I think it's really important. Just for example, on opportunity zones, the governor's office and the state of Illinois are deciding where the census tracts are going to be that fit into the 25% of the poorest areas or zip codes in Illinois, and then opportunity funds are being set up, and then people in those communities need to recognize the chance they have to create businesses, to attract capital, And we need good jobs. We also need training. There needs to be good job training. Our schools need a heck of a lot of attention. Certainly in Chicago, they do. I live in Washington, D.C., and my kids have gone to both public and private schools, private Catholic schools here in D.C., and parents are always on the lookout for where their children are going to get the best opportunity. Where are their teachers who go the extra mile? We highlighted one from Earl Stem Elementary School in Chicago who started a chess club with his own money. And Mr. O'Cool brought his chess team to the Kemp Forum on Friday, and it was one of the highlights of the forum. That these kids just shown when they were talking about what made them start the chess club. And then we set up we had a bunch of booths for local organizations to show off what they're doing. And after the kids did their presentation on stage, we had a few breaks, and some of our folks went over and played chess with them. And I think that some of our guests thought they were going to be able to beat these sixth and seventh graders, and they got their tails beat.
In quick time, yes.
Yeah. It was. You know, we had short breaks, but so obviously, education is a critical part of it. People need to know that there's a reason to get educated, that there are job opportunities out there. And in order to do that, you got to have capital. There are so many other issues, Rick. We touched on the, you know, a little bit beneath the surface on many of them. But we're going to continue to stay engaged in Chicago. Todd Ricketts and Sylvie Legere Ricketts have really helped us build relationships down the south side and the west side and the north side. We've been kind of all over Chicago in the last 6 months, and we'll be coming back. But there's organizations like Together Chicago, there's Project Hood, and a lot of other groups who we've met who are doing good work. And our hope was just that we could come amplify their message a little bit, have Speaker Ryan learn about what's going on in Chicago. He doesn't live far away in Janesville, and as he retires and goes back to Janesville, he's not too far from Chicago. He grew up watching WGN and loves the Cubs. There's important dialogue that will continue, and it's important to pay attention to some of the legislation that's coming out, well, and demanding state and local legislators to get their jobs done.
We'll be keeping an eye on all of that, as well as the Kemp Foundation. Jimmy Kemp, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rick.